Now about to begin Lecture 5 on Parshas Mitzora. During the previous Lecture 4, we learned about Negoi Botim, a nega, a discoloration which is found on the wall of a house in Eretz Yisroel. And we learned various details about that. We really finished the halachos of Negoi Botim. Now the Torah gives us some summary psukim, concluding what is essentially the entire parsha of Mitzora, beginning from near the beginning of Parshas Tazria, all the way down through the end of Tazria, all the way through Parshas Mitzora until this point. Zos HaTorah, L'chol Nega HaTzoras V'la Nosek. Nosek, remember, we learned is a particular type of blemish which is found on the head of the person. Ulitzoras habeget v'laboyes. We've also learned about tzoras habeget, cloth items. This is something we studied earlier. And v'laboyes, something we just learned about now in the previous lecture about negoim on botim, on houses. V'laseis v'lasapachas v'labehores. We learned that there are various levels of whiteness, one known as Se'es, one as Tzapachas, one as Behores. Actually, there are four. There's Se'es and Behores, and there's Tzapachas HaSe'es and Tzapachas HaBehores. But we learned all about that. Lahoros biyom hatomeyu v'yom hatahor, according to Rashi, this means to teach you upon which days a person begins his process of tahara, upon which days he begins his process of tumo. So we learned about the various time periods involved. Zos, Toras, Hatzoras. End of that story. And now we move in Perek Tesvov to a new type of tumo, and that is the tumo of a zav. A zav, by way of brief introduction, is a male would seem to be an illness of some sort, of where the person excretes from his body. There's an excretion from his penis, from his sexual organ, but it is not urine and it is not sperm. It is some fluid which has a certain appearance. According to Rashi, it looks like barley dough, but kind of loosely melted, dissolved, liquefied barley dough, and it in some ways looks like the white of a stirred up egg. If you take a raw egg, stir it up, the white part of it, this somehow resembles, this is what the fluid which emits from a zav looks like, as opposed to sperm, which does not look that way, which rather looks very much like the white of an egg before it is stirred up. It's a clearer, translucent type of fluid. So there's a distinction. This is not sperm. This is not urine, and one can speculate what disease we're talking about here, but it's really, although many, many books have been written about what a zav might be medically, as far as we're concerned in this lecture, that's not the issue. The issue, you'll excuse the pun, is that from the zav has issued forth this liquid. And what is his status and the status of people with whom he comes into contact and the status of the various chairs he might sit on or saddles he might ride on or beds he might lie on. So the pasuk says, Vayadabar Hashem al Moshe v'yala Aharon lemor. Here Aaron too is included in the mitzvah. Dabru abnei Yisrael v'amartem aleihem, speak to the Jewish people and tell them, Ish ish ki yihi yezov mipsoro zovo tomehu. If a person has this ziva, this fluid, which is issuing forth from him, he is tomeh. Vizov tihiye tumaso bezovo. This, we were about to learn now, says the Torah, the nature of this tumah, of this flowing fluid object. substance. Ror besoro, the liquid, the fluid emitting from his flesh. Es zovo, if there's this running liquid fluid kind of oozing out of his body. O hechtim besoro mizovo, or it has dried up, now it's a crusty thing which is sealing off the opening of his sexual organ. Tumoso hi, this is his tumor. Rashi explains, which is essential in understanding the Tumah of Zav from Chazal's point of view, that these psukim indicate that there are two or three re'ios. Zav would just see a person who just sees and notices his fluid once, not yet is he Tumah to the extent that we will be studying about. Twice he is Tumah, but does not have to bring a concluding korban. However, if he sees it three times, it doesn't make a difference, three times in one day or three times in 3 days or whatever. If he sees it three times, then he is Tomei, as we will study, and in addition, has to bring the Karbonos, which we will study. Rashi outlines what I just told you in very, very briefly, deriving it from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says here, Bizovo, Ror Bisoro Esovo, Oheh Tim Bisoro Mizovo. Obviously there's three Zovos, and if there's three Zovos, that's meaning there are three Rios necessary for him to be Mechuyev Korban, two Rios necessary for him to be Tomei, one is you get one strike. Now, okay, the guy's Tomei. What happens now? Number one, Kol HaMishkov, any bed, cot, sofa, stretcher, Asher Yishkav Olov HaZov, which the Zov lies upon, Yitma, this object, this couch, this stretcher, this bed itself becomes Tomei. It's Mishkav HaZov, it becomes an Av HaTumah. V'chol HaKli Asher Yishkav Olov Yitma. Similarly, Moshav HaZav, anything a Zov sits upon, a chair, a bench, a stool, whatever it is that he sits upon, is Tomei. So much so that anyone who touches the bed upon which the Zov had lied down is Tomei. But not, he's not an Av HaTumah. This chair or the bed is an Av HaTumah, first class Tumah. The person who touches the bed or the chair, second class Tumah. He's only a Rishon LeTumah. And what he has to do, cleanse his clothing, go to the mikveh, meaning immerse his clothing in the mikveh and immerse himself in the mikveh. Yechabes begadov rachatz b'mayim b'tomei ha'orev. The person who touches the mishkav or the moshav azav is tomei for a day, goes to the mikveh, waits for sunset, and he's in the clear. His tumah is over. V'hayoshev al hakli asher yeshev olov hazov. A person who sits upon the kli, even if he didn't touch the kli. In other words, the Zav sat on the chair. Now you take the chair the Zav sat upon and put it on the floor, and on top of it put another chair, on top of it another chair, on top of it a third chair, on top of that a blanket, on top of that a sheet, and the guy comes along and sits down on that. So he's not even in contact with the chair upon which the Zav sat. He's sitting on a chair, above a chair, above a chair, etc. Hayoshev alakli, asher yeshev alazov. He still considers Yoshev alakli. His body has been pressing down and issuing forth its weight, putting its weight down, even on the chair at the bottom of the whole stack of chairs. So that person is Tomei. Yichabes begadov rochat b'mayim v'tomei ato orev. That's what Rashi said. Hayoshev alakli, afilu lo noga, afilu asoro kelim ze al ze. Kulam mitamin mishum moshav v'chein mishkov. The same thing would be true in a bed. He slept, the Zav slept on a mattress. And then he left the mattress. Now on top of that mattress, you put a sheet and a blanket and another mattress and a chves was on top of that. And someone sleeps on top of the whole chadgadya. Nevertheless, that person who slept on top of there is Tomei, Tumas, Rishon Lutuma from a mishkav hazav. Next case. V'hanogeya b'fsar hazav, a person who shakes hands with the zav, he touches the zav, same type of tumah. Yichabes begadov v'rochat b'mayim v'tomei ha'orev. V'chiyorok hazav b'tohor, the zav spits, some of the saliva of a zav reaches a non-zav. Same thing, that non-zav is now tomei, he has to take his clothing, the mikveh. Here you go to the mikveh, and he's tamei until evening. V'chibes begadov rachas b'mayim v'tamei adorim. V'chol ha-merkov asher yirkav alav hazov yitmo. If the zav rides upon something, he's sitting on a saddle. So Rashi says, even if he's not sitting directly on the saddle, all right, but rather he's holding on to the handle of the saddle or whatever, he's still tomei mishum merkav. All right, same type of tumah as tumas moshov. Any person who touches anything which is under the zav, a person who carries those objects, to understand Pasuk Yud properly, one has to consult Rashi. When the Pasuk says, v'chol hanogeya b'chol asher yihi yesachtov, you touch anything which was under the zav, yitmo ad ha'orev. What have we not covered? We've covered beds, we've covered chairs, we've covered saddles. What have we left out? So Rashi says, tachtov shel zav, bovali meit, al hamerkov. There's a difference between the saddle and the chair and the bed. Sheh hanogeya botome. Ve'ein ta'un kibus begodim. Notice, in Pasuk Yud, there is no mentioning of having to wash his clothing. It just says he is Tomei Ato Orev. So this is a Chomer. This is a way in which Mishkov is stricter than Merkov. Mishkov, the bed or the couch upon which he sits or sleeps, the person has to go to the mikveh and has to immerse his clothing in the mikveh. But if what he's sitting is on is merely a Merkav Hazav, something upon which the Zav has took a ride on, like a saddle, then the tumah is limited to his body, not to his clothing. However, a person who is noseosam, who carries, not just touches, not just mago, but tumas masa, he carries these chairs, tables, saddles, whatever, by noseosam, then he has to have kibus begodim, his clothing have to be immersed in the mikveh, and he immersed in the mikveh, and he is tumah for that day. Until now we're talking about things which other people touch. Now what about the things which the Zav has touched? Anything which the Zav has touched. Literally, we can't be literal, but we'll just translate literally for the moment. And the Zav has not washed his hands previously. What's washing hands have to do with it? So Chazal understand that washing hands here really means he's not gone to the mikveh. The Zav touched it prior to having gone to the mikveh. And Chazal learned limudim as to why the Torah here, instead of saying chol hashayiga b'avu hazav, anything the Zav touched before going to the mikveh, etc. Instead of saying that, it says anything the Zav touched before, without having washed his hands. So Chazal learned various limudim, the basic limud being that just like hands are a part of the body which is exposed, so too whenever anyone has to go to a mikveh, he has to be sure that every exposed part of his body or her body is immersed in the mikveh. But those parts of the body which are not exposed, which are based sesorim, cavities, anal cavities, for example, nasal cavity, etc., inside of the mouth, they don't have to be exposed to the mikveh. You don't have to open your mouth and let the water go in when you're in the mikveh. That's called a base hasesorim. The hidden places are not like your dayim, and therefore, not like hands, and therefore do not have to be in contact with the water. Be it as it may, the correct way, the non-literal way, the halachic way to read this pasuk is, anything which a zav touched prior to having gone to the mikveh, not having gone to the mikveh, then whatever the zav touches, v'chibes begadov, in other words, any person the zav touches, v'chibes begadov, rochatz b'mayim, that person who is touched by the zav has to wash his clothing, meaning he has to immerse his clothing in the mikveh, immerse himself in the mikveh, and he too is tomei for that day. Suppose the Zav does not touch a person, but he touches an earthenware vessel. Uchli cheres hashayiga bo hazav yishover. You can't take an earthenware vessel and purify it by dipping it in the mikveh. That does not work for a kli cheres. Therefore, the klicheres has to be, klicheres earthenware vessel, has to be smashed. V'chol klietz, suppose he's touched a wooden vessel, or a metal vessel, or whatever, but the Torah is speaking about a wooden vessel becomes tomei, can be dipped into the mikveh and become tor. So that's what you do. Yishoteh pamoyim. Okay, now, this zov is not a zov forever. This disease or this condition of this flow, this flux, doesn't last forever. So suppose he becomes tor, when he is purified from his flow, from his flux, then he has to count 7 days without seeing any of this liquid, any of this fluid. He must count 7 days. At the end of those 7 days, wash his clothing, meaning immerse his clothing in a mikveh. He must immerse himself not in any ordinary mikveh, but in a mikveh of mayim chayim, a mikveh of fountain water, not a mikveh of, like today, water which is gathered from rainwater into a cavity in the ground, but rather mayim chayim, and that's how the Rambam paskins, Hilchos Mikvos, Perek Aleph. The Rambam goes into the details of what constitutes a ma'ayon, a fountain of mayim chayim, a fresh living water. So he's tohar now. If the Zov was a Zov Bal Shtei Re'iyos, he has only seen the Zivot twice, so he's Tomei, and he has to wait the Shiva Nekiyim, he has to wait the 7 days of seeing no flow, and then he purifies himself in the mikveh, and then he's out of there. He's free again, Tohor. But suppose he's a Zov Bal Shtei, Bal Sholosh Re'iyos, suppose he's three, not two, but three such emissions, then he has to do the same thing. He has to wait his 7 days, go to the mikveh, and on the 8th day, bring korbanos. Uvayom hashmini, he brings korbanos. Rather cheap, rather inexpensive, I shouldn't say cheap, inexpensive set of korbanos. Yikach lo shteirim, shtei sorim, he brings 2 doves, of shnei bnei yona, 2 young pigeons, uvol lifnei Hashem el pesach ohol moed, and he comes before God to the door, to the Beis HaMikdash, or to the Mishkan, unisonom el ha-kohen, and he gives it to the Kohen, gives them, gives the 2 birds to the Kohen. The Kohen takes these 2 birds, v'yososom ha-kohen echot chatos, of one of them he makes a chatos, v'yo echot ola, of the other he makes an ola, v'chiper olov ha-kohen lifnei Hashem mizovo, and the Kohen brings about forgiveness to this person from so he's now purified and completely released from his condition of being a Zov. Now, the Ramban says an interesting thing here, and that is, why does this fellow need an Ola and a Chatos? Because, writes the Ramban, this Ziva, this condition of flow, is an illness. Since he's been cured from the illness, he should bring a carbon ola as an offer of thanksgiving. It's like a carbon toda, which is not an ola. But he brings an ola as an act of expression of thankfulness and gratitude. He is now healthy again. But he's obviously sinned in the process. Therefore, he also brings a carbon chatos. And these 2 carbonos bring about for him a total kapora. So we've learned in some detail now, since beginning Parshas Tazria, we've learned about some very important tumas. The tuma of a yoledes, of a woman who's given birth, whether to a male, to a female, and the various karbonos that she must bring. We've learned about a mitzora and the karbonos that he must bring upon being cured. We learned about negoi botim, and we're now learning about a zov and the karbonos which he must bring. And Zov is he, it's only a masculine illness, an illness for males, when he becomes Tohor. And so we've concluded now lecture number 5 of the lectures on Parshas Mitzoro.